Welcome to the Busy Pastor Podcast. My name is Greg Gibson, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Trent Stewart, the lead pastor at Foothills Church. This is episode 11, and today we are talking about being busy, becoming spiritually healthy. All right, welcome to the Busy Pastor Podcast. Man, episode 11. Today we're talking about being busy, becoming spiritually healthy.
Yep.
And thanks so much for tuning in, being with us through the journey of the Busy Pastor Podcast. And so when we talk about spiritual health, we take that to mean being spiritually mature.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question for you, Trent, right from the beginning is, what does it mean to be spiritually mature? Let's just define it as we begin the conversation.
It's great. Yeah, I think, you know, to really get to the heart of it, let's start with like what it isn't. So what spiritual maturity is not is, you know, I was baptized as a kid, or I've been to church my whole life, or I know a lot about my denomination's, you know, doctrines. Spiritual maturity isn't necessarily being old. It's not, you know, being an influencer in a church program. It's not dressing well or being a great teacher, or being a necessarily, you know, a good, quotation marks, good pastor. Yeah. It's not even really knowing a lot about the Bible. A lot of people know a lot about it, but it has an impact of their life to where they're actually treating people the way that Christ would have us treat one another. So
yeah, it's the old education model, right? Like, how do we know? Well, we've been through these classes and we know a lot about the Bible.
And honestly, I feel like that's what all pastors, you know, on some level are looking for when they're talking about developing disciples or growing people. We're looking for that educational model. And that's kind of where we lean in, at least in America. And the education is important. Like the knowledge, you can't diminish it, but at the same time, it can't be the only thing that you do. And just knowing a bunch of stuff doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be spiritually mature and spiritually healthy. But, you know, I think a couple other things as we talk about growth and maturity, God's not going to like you more or love you more if you decide to grow spiritually or if you are mature. You know, whether you're immature or mature spiritually, God's not grading you and loving mature people more. And so we need to understand that. So it doesn't have anything to do with our standing before God. Spiritual growth doesn't really depend on time. I've seen a lot of people grow quickly. And so definitely time and in that grind of growing and maturing and yes, learning, but also applying is helpful, but doesn't necessarily mean you're mature if, you know, you have been a Christian your whole life. And if you just became a Christian this year, you still can grow, mature in that time frame. Spiritual growth has nothing to do with activity in the church. And so we tend to, as pastors, look to the people in our church who are busy in our church. And we think they are the mature ones because they're here all the time or they're serving all the time.
They're showing up.
They're showing up. But we all know that just because they show up doesn't mean they've grown up. And we all know that they may just not have a life and that's the only thing they have to do. And
man, absolutely, man. I think that is such an indicator of kind of the state of the church, like you said, at least in America, is that oftentimes we equate spiritual health with busyness.
Yeah.
And
being there.
Just you know, showing up and being a part of the all the activities. You're there every time the doors open at the church. And it's kind of righteous busyness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
And I think, you know, when it comes to you know, this conversation, I love the metaphor, right, that we use here at Foothills Church of
spiritual parents.
Exactly. The spiritual family, right? Yeah. Going from a spiritual infant to a spiritual parent. And so what is that process for us, and what's the goal that we're trying to always define here at Foothills?
Mm-hmm. So if we're making disciples, we're trying to help people grow into maturity. We're thinking about our own maturity. You know, it's helpful to think about it in a biblical sense. And in 1 John 2, 13 and following, he talks about writing to fathers. He talks about writing to young men. He talks about writing to children. Paul uses this spiritual metaphor of being, you know, too young in our faith to be able to grab the meat of some of these harder truths in the gospel. And so we're seeing this terminology. And so I think it's helpful for us when we talk about maturity of looking at, okay, I'm either a spiritual infant, I'm a spiritual child, I'm a spiritual young adult, or I'm a spiritual parent, and kind of identifying what are some of the indicators of each one of those categories. And
yeah.
And so when you think about it in terms of just parenting your own children, you know, one day I've got four kids, I want all of my kids to grow up and mature and become responsible adults to
right.
get their own house, pay their own
yes.
bills, pay their own cell phone bill, right? And you know, begin their own family. And in the church life, pastors often don't see that as the goal for the people. They like to have sometimes people who need them, you know, and people who come to them for all the answers and need them to do all the stuff.
The superhero mentality we talked about in past episodes.
And if we're helping people grow, we're getting them to a point to where they love us and they enjoy the message and they enjoy the church and we're friends, but they don't need me, right? They've become a parent who, what's a parent do? Parent has their own family. A parent
right.
raises their own kids,
yeah.
develops their own kids, helps their own kids mature. And so in the church, what we want to see when we talk about, if I want to talk about being spiritually mature as a pastor, I want to understand it in the sense that the goal then is to develop myself and other people in the church that can become spiritual parents who disciple other children, raise them up so that they can be disciple-making parents as well.
Yeah, I love that metaphor, right? The goal, really, one of the goals of parenting is to go from authority to influence in your child's life. At some point, they're going to leave the home and you're not really going to have authority over them, but you're going to be influencing them. And hopefully we've earned that right. Like you said, in the infant stage, the child stage spiritually, we might be a little bit more involved in their life, but at some point we're going to release them and it's not knowledge-based.
Yeah.
Like so often we define our success and our health. So if that isn't the case, just this knowledge-based approach to discipleship and just education model and checking that box, well, what does spiritual health look like?
Comes back to a lot of the episodes that we've already had. So if you're just joining this podcast, I encourage you to start back with episode one. But, you know, we're talking about growth happens in relationships. And so
yes.
we're seeing this happen through scripture, Jesus mentoring and discipling in relationships. And so, you know, yeah, we want to read the Bible, apply the word of God. All the spiritual disciplines are a part of this in some way.
Yes. All a part of the conversation.
Yeah. And so whether it's reading, prayer, you know, memorizing scripture, meditation, all these things are important, but we've got to do these things in community. And we want to, I think, live with a posture of repentance in our life as pastors and just, you know, teaching that to our people. And that's going to mean really, yes, you know, spiritually and spiritual disciplines, but it's also like physically taking care of our bodies is a big part of this, developing a healthy family and life rhythm. Disciplines are important, but they don't always grow our affections for the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we're driven
yeah,
by
absolutely.
Those disciplines just because we like to check boxes. And we've talked about that in the past. And so I think it's important that we see the difference.
Yeah, I think so. A couple episodes ago, we asked the question, well, how do we know when our people are growing and how do we measure that? And the way you answered it was, well, when our people are in relationships and in relationships and in community, we're seeing the fruit that is being produced because of their growth.
Yeah.
And then they're starting to make disciples and they're becoming spiritual parents. And
yeah,
I
think that's it.
And then in many ways, like that's where we also as pastors have to insert ourselves, right? We are doing the work of the ministry. We're equipping the saints to make disciples, and that's where we want to see this stuff played out. And I want to go back to something you mentioned a moment ago when we're talking about identifying idols, even in community, right? So one side of the coin is that relationships are the fruit of our growth is coming out as disciple makers. On the other side of that coin is that we're crushing idols in our life.
Mm-hmm.
But let's speak to the pastor just for a moment. How can the work of ministry become an idol in our life?
Well, in so many ways. And I think to help us reveal and identify some of those idols, we have to think about what's really driving us
right.
what's driving us to preach, what's driving us to lead our church, what's driving us, you know, to wake up and come to work every day. And if we're honest, a lot of that is growth and people that attend. And
yeah,
so
attendance.
Butts and seats becomes right. like this driving force of, we got to get people here. We got to get people here. And, you know, COVID has showed up and, you know, it's really revealed. I think a lot of idols, you know,
the idol crusher. Yeah.
Yeah. And
idol revealer. Yes.
So when we begin to see that, you know, when it really bugs us and irks us that people aren't in the room, when it really bugs us that, you know, so-and-so didn't show up to small group, you know, why does it bother us so much?
Yes.
You know, what are the reasons and the motives behind this? And that's the hard work of really kind of getting underneath the skin and getting to your heart.
The success of ministry,
the
right?
The success,
I remember early on in my ministry, if they're doing even youth ministry, if students weren't packing out the room, how it would affect my mood before a sermon.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Having to do the hard work of identifying that idol and learning that.
There's so many. So I think what we have to do is I think Tim Keller said this. He said, when we make a good thing an ultimate thing, it becomes an idol.
Yes.
So, you know, that could be food, that could be sex, that could be ministry, that can be preaching.
Gosh.
So many things. We can take a good thing, and instead of enjoying it for the glory of God, we make it an ultimate thing. We have to have it. We have to have people here. We have to grow. We have to have baptisms. We have to have all these things. And we get ourselves stressed out and worked up. And what we're doing is we're just creating the next golden calf for us to worship instead of really understanding who we are in Christ and beginning to press into what he's called us to do and leave the results up to him.
It becomes such a burden to do ministry in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes the joy out of it. It takes the fun out of it. It's a constant roller coaster of emotions when ministry becomes an idol and success and numbers become an idol.
Sure.
When
we start doing the work so much that it keeps us from responsibilities at home.
Yes.
It's an idol. When I get caught up doing the work instead of worshiping the one I'm actually working for, it's an idol. All of a sudden, you know, I begin worshiping work instead of Christ. And I love what one of my professors in seminary said, Dr. Chuck Lawless. He said, it becomes an idol if you tend to talk more about your ministry than about the Lord.
Man, that's a heart check.
So if you're talking, you know, more about ministry and what you're doing and how you're doing and what you're learning and how you're getting people in the doors and how are you responding to COVID and all these kind of things, and you're talking more about that than you are the Lord, it could become or has become an idol.
And then all of a sudden you're busy doing the wrong things.
Absolutely. That's the whole point, right?
Right.
And it's easy for us to allow that work to begin to trump all the other things because we convince ourselves that ministry is important.
Right.
Ministry is so important. We're changing lives. And we tell our wife, honey, this is kingdom building. And she's like, oh, you're right. Go ahead. Even though I haven't seen you for, you know, 6 days and kids don't know you exist anymore. And so we're just busy with the wrong things. And so it's either, you know, the next event that rolls around, Easter. When Easter is done, honey, then we're going to be able to get together, you know. When this meeting is done or when I hire this guy, then I'll have more time. And everything keeps rolling and rolling. And we feel like we are so very important. We got to step back and be honest. Like if we're not giving appropriate time to family needs, to personal health, to emotional health, to our own spiritual health and maturity, ministry has become an idol. And we've got to recognize it.
Yeah, when we are busy doing all the wrong things and putting the emphasis on the wrong things, it's going to affect the primary things that God has called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then our identity, right, gets wrapped up in what we do.
Yep.
As you mentioned a moment ago, instead of who we are in Christ.
And it's awesome. And the Word of God is amazing. I mean, the example is before us in Acts chapter 6. You know, the church is like, hey, we need more ministry, you know, happening for some of the widows. And, you know, we need more people taking care of them. And so what do they do? Well, the 12 get together and they said, look, it's not the right thing for us to give up preaching the word of God, you know, to serve tables. Not that that's not important.
Right.
But here's what we need to be busy with. We've got to be busy with the right things. Let's develop a system and a way and a ministry to be able to take care of that need because that need is important, right? But we do that hard work so that we can stay in our lane.
Yeah, the sweet spot of ministry,
yeah.
Our design-based job description, what mm-hmm. God has called us to do, everything this podcast is
about.
Absolutely. And so when we talk about, really being spiritually healthy, let's talk about how we know we're not spiritually healthy.
Yeah.
What are some evidences that creep into our life as in our leadership, mm-hmm. maybe in our personal life, that really point to this indicator,
yeah.
Man, we're not spiritually healthy right now.
I would say, why don't you think of the guy on your staff that annoys you the most, or that you think he is immature with or whatever, and start making a list of all the things that you think he's mature about. And then when you see that list, start asking yourself that question. Do you see those same things in yourself? Because here's what we do. We don't like to think about what red flags are in our life. I don't want to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
I want to give myself an A+. I don't want to think about that. I feel like I'm good and I'm golden. And sure, I'm not perfect. I've got some things to work on.
Mm.
But that guy over there, man, he needs some growth.
And it's our way of deflecting, right?
It's our way of deflecting. So go ahead and make the list of what this guy's doing,
yeah.
And then spin that list around and put your name beside every single one of those characteristics, and then start looking in the mirror. And because we've got to see the red flags, we've got to see some of these things in our life, but we are blind to them.
Yeah.
We're so blind to them.
And we'll do everything we can to keep our blind spots actual blind spots.
And it's the same thing we do in our marriage,
yeah.
Right? In our marriage, it's her fault. I blame her. I criticize her. If she's not doing what I want, then I'll avoid her,
mm-hmm.
or I'll stonewall her. And instead of doing the hard work on my own heart and my own life,
it's the Band-Aid.
And being mature,
right.
about it, and having a conversation and staying calm and talking through it. So, I mean, if you're self-absorbed, seriously,
yeah.
if when you talk to other people, if all you're doing is talking about yourself, then that should be an issue for you. You've got to see that.
Yeah, man. I recently read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People, an old book, and
great one.
And one of my main takeaways is, man, am I a good listener and question asker?
Yeah,
you know, and that was the magnifying glass on me.
Mm-hmm.
How often do I talk about myself? How
mm-hmm.
often am I using I,
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
And am I showing interest
mm-hmm.
even in other people? I think
yeah.
that is a huge indicator of just being self-absorbed.
Oh,
you're right.
Yeah. And do you tend to ignore issues, or do you tend to actually try to work through them? Because if you're working on issues, that would be a sign of spiritual health. Ignoring them is a sign of unhealthiness.
Right. Being honest about those issues.
Yeah. You know, you talk about your, you know, from a passion side of things, are you passionate about what you're doing, or are you dispassionate? I mean, that would be a sign. Are you losing sleep? Are you taking care of your body? What's your physical health look like? Because I think a lot of that is tied to spiritual health as well.
Right.
We don't always like to talk about that in ministry circles, but I think that's a big thing. And then we look at, you know, what are some of the things that we're using to self-medicate?
Yes. How are we escaping? That's right.
What is it? Is it wrong to, you know, binge on a Netflix series? Not necessarily, but are you doing it every night? Are you doing it every week? Is pornography an issue? Is alcohol an issue? Do you have to have these things? Is this something that you have to regularly go to in order to cope, with life?
Right.
And so
are the burdens of ministry so big that you are escaping and sinful and unhealthy ways?
Yeah.
Those are huge evidences.
You got to see that. And I think one of the biggest parts of that, obviously, and we're going to get into this, is just having relationships in your life that can help you see some of those areas.
Yeah. And so definitely when it comes to just evidences of spiritual health, I mean, there are many indicators. And so, you know, pastors, if you're listening to this, you know, and you feel like you are not at a place where you are spiritually healthy, I would just say, hey, talk with someone, maybe a mentor or a close friend, and really pause and get some counsel, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
and if you keep working and you keep running your gas tank on empty, soon enough, you're going to run out of gas, and it could be an explosion. It could cause more harm and damage, and that's not what we want. And so we're for you. We are here for you. We love you. That's why we started this podcast. And so when we talk about ways where we can, Trent, remain anchored to Christ in our ministry and throughout our ministry, we want to get to the legacy stage. You know, being celebrating 40, 50 years in ministry, Lord willing, at some point. How do we do this? I mean, yes, God's grace is the ocean we're swimming in, right? But what are ways we can remain anchored to Christ in our ministry?
Well, I think a good question to ask, you know, to help us get to that point is, what are some of those things that stir your affections for Christ? What are those things that really get you passionate and help you grow? Make sure you're doing those things. For me, it's going to be creating. When I'm creating, I feel closest to the Lord. When I'm listening to sermons, when I'm reading books from, you know, old guys like Spurgeon and Luther and Ryle, these guys connect me to the Lord. Leadership books are a big thing for me. I love to read leadership books that I apply into the church setting. And so my affections are stirred when my mind is engaged. And honestly, I get unhealthy when my mind becomes stagnant. So if I'm not creating anything, if I'm not working on anything, I get very inward focused, and then self-medication is easy to run to. And so I've got to watch that.
And so you know yourself, right? You know that those are ways that your heart constantly is stirring for Jesus. So you're going to do that a lot. You're going to block off time in your schedule to make sure that you're reading leadership books and you're, you know, spending time with Spurgeon and Luther and Ryle, and you're spending time in you know, creative visionary lanes. And that's a way where, man, you're constantly loving Christ through that. You know,
that's me. And so who are you? You know, you know, those of you guys that are listening, you're going to have what people have called a spiritual pathway that you're going to tend to lean into, to that most naturally connects you to God. And so, you know, let me go through them real quick. You've got guys that creation, you know, being in the woods, and, you know, being in the creek or being in the river, camping, walking around barefoot in the moss. I don't know. But when you're in nature, that connects you to God. That's just kind of how you're wired. For some, it's worship music. And so, you know, listening to singing is going to be your connection. Intellectual is another pathway. So reading, learning, kind of what I was talking about, listening to sermons, is a pathway. Relationally, so there's a lot of people who are just relationally wired, and so they got to be around people to feel more connected to the Lord. Then you've got like what they call the activists. And so when this person is dealing with justice issues, and when they are, you know, involved in that, that keeps them and helps them connect closely to the Lord. Then you got the contemplative. This is the uninterrupted time with God person, very introspective. And then you've got the guy who connects most with service. And so when I'm serving and doing, that's when I'm connecting most with the Lord. And so obviously spiritual disciplines are all part of this as well, but that pathway is important to know who you are so that you can make sure those are some of the things that you're doing regularly to keep you spiritually healthy and growing and moving closer to Jesus.
Yes. And this conversation is so important for pastors, because we want to be in, we want to be in it and in ministry for the long haul. We want to be making disciples. We want to be equipping the saints for the work of ministry years and years and years from now. And so continue to make that list. What stirs your affections for Christ? Continue to be in community yourself. Continue to be in relationships where people see your fruit, not just your knowledge, right? And where your idols are revealed and you're crushing that in your life. And you're beginning to live in such a way where you are spiritually healthy, not just for today, but you're spiritually healthy about the long run of your ministry. And I think when we do that, we're going to be blown away by what God has in store for us. Thank you for listening to the Busy Pastor Podcast. As we close today's episode, we want to invite you to do a few things. First of all, subscribe to the Busy Pastor Podcast. And if you like today's episode, leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. Secondly, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Busy Pastor. And today's episode is brought to you by that time your mic went out right when you started preaching.
Perfect timing. Why does that happen right then?
If you'd like to sponsor The Busy Pastor, email us at info@busypastor.org. Next week, we'll be talking about becoming emotionally healthy. Until then, let's be busy with the right things.